Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? And then it's me, Mr. Keck. I hope you've not missed me, or I hope you have missed me. I'm really not sure the thought process of here. I'm sorry if you have been listening to my episodes and you came to last week and found yourself like, hey, where's the new episode? Because it wasn't there. I'm sorry about that. So if I could just have a brief moment to explain my unannounced absence last week, I think it would be cathartic for me. So listen, I'm doing this podcast because it just is something that's fun for me. I really enjoy getting to talk to people or just talk out loud myself. Again, I've always viewed this as very therapeutic, whether it was this or whether it was Rage You Nerds, whichever one of these outlets I've been using, I just kind of embrace for what it is, and it's a chance for me to just talk. So last week was the start of a new semester for the college that I work at, for the university that I work at. So I don't know if I've talked about what I do, but I work at a university. For those that know me, that's not too surprising. But this past week was the first week back of the first semester, and as I'm sure everyone's aware, we've been in a pandemic. So this has been a return to the university setting being as close to what things look like in 2019 as you could possibly have at this moment. So with that came some unique challenges. So it was a hectic week. So I say all of that to say this. I didn't have the appropriate time to allocate my time outside of just surviving and thriving last week. So one thing that I do with my job is I help coordinate and put on a welcome carnival. So it is an event where we invite all of our first year engineering students to come out, and then they get to have a little bit of fun, enjoy some carnival type food. But then the big thing is for me is that I introduce their peer mentors, and then this is the first week that they meet their mentor. So for me, it's been 2 years since we've actually held this event. So last year, the event was postponed due to the pandemic. The year before that, it was actually postponed due to bad weather. It's been a good long while since I've had to do something of this caliber. And that's not necessarily too big of a deal, but the fact is that we actually, you know, when I stopped and thought about it, the students that we have helping put this on, my peer mentors, typically it wouldn't be a big deal if there was a 1 year gap between doing the Welcome Carnival, because then I could trust that, you know, the juniors and seniors would at least be able to talk to the new peer mentors, the sophomore peer mentors, and let them know, hey, you know, this is what it looked like, and give them a general idea. But with there being 2 years of this missed, the reality was this: out of my 89 peer mentors, so my 89 student staff, maybe 15 of them were aware of what a Welcome Carnival even was. So it was challenging, to say the least. And so there was some difficulties with all of the things. I mean, anytime you put on an event, there's always going to be some hiccups with things, with vendors, with getting everything in place, with getting people in place. And then the biggest hiccup of them all is how the audience, the students coming into the event, are going to act and react. And with all of this, you have the climate of COVID. So trying to put on a large gathering with students while also being as conscientious of COVID protocols and the fact that this is still an active virus and still something that is passing around. I mean, it took whatever energy I had to give last week to go towards doing that effectively, doing that in a way that would be happy. And on top of all of that, I also advise students academically. So just getting through that first week where people are either changing their majors into engineering, wanting to change their majors out of engineering, wanting to completely revamp their schedule. And to add on top of that, we have a record-breaking enrollment number. So the largest incoming first-year class. So it was a lot. Last week was definitely, I mean, I've been doing this job. This is the culmination of my fifth year. So I'll have done this job for 5 years at the start of October. But this will be, I mean, this has been a culmination of, you know, 5 years in the making. And this has definitely been the most challenging. It really felt like a complete hard reset of everything I had been doing. Like, I don't even think my year one of doing this job was as difficult, as trying, as exhausting, as soul challenging and soul shaking as this year was. I mean, it's tough, right? Everyone, I assume, feels it in their own job. So I don't want to make, you know, this be it was super difficult for me to get through it because, I'm totally aware we are all trying to get through this right now. But I guess I just wasn't aware of how much this job, something that was a routine there for my first like 2 or 3 years of doing this job, something that just basically operated like clockwork, how much of a challenge it could be. I don't know, like it just hit me a lot harder. Honestly, working at a university setting through these times, and I imagine working in any educational, anything that, you know, anything that's predicated on the necessity or the need to have a bunch of people present. So, like, I mean, not to say that it helps people working in retail, but shopping could go online and still find ways to manage and stuff like that. But, like, education, these jobs that require you to be with students, like, students learn better in person than they do remotely, seems to be the common piece of information we've gained from this pandemic. It's not to say that remote learning is impossible. It's not to say that some students don't thrive or do exceptional in remote learning. But from a large portion, it's just one of those things where this job isn't nearly the job it should be without students on campus. But getting through this summer, do the advising, getting students ready, dealing with all of the challenges that come with a record-breaking enrollment number, class spaces disappearing, the ability to build schedules diminishing. Man, it's just tough, y'all. Listen, it's hot. It's hot. Humidity spikes down here in the South. Like, there's so many things that I can point at and say this just wore me down. But when I got home last week, pretty much every day, and especially the day that I put on the Welcome Carnival, which was the night I came home just drenched in sweat, I took it upon myself to come home, completely wrap myself in a blanket and just try to go to bed. And then just so that way I could pull myself out of bed and go in there the next day and just make everything work. So listen, again, I'm not here to say my job is anywhere near the hardest job out there. Some of you that maybe listen to this probably have a much more difficult job for you, and I totally get that. But at the same time, you also have to, you know, you have to frame it from what your point of reference is. So, like, yes, if I started out doing this job and I transitioned to something that was much more physically demanding, then I would always look back at this current job and say, man, that was super easy compared to this physically or emotionally intensive job that I'm doing. So it's apples to oranges, but just I'm just speaking the truth of me. And last week was rough. And that was also sandwiched in, you know, the going down and for the memorial service of my wife's grandmother passing. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like there may have been other factors tied into it, some other personal stuff that seemed to potentially impact last week more so than just the work itself. And maybe it was some stuff that I, you know, just clearly in my mind didn't think it was something I had to really process through. But, you know, maybe it was lingering in there. Maybe it was something else in there that just kind of helped exacerbate kind of my emotional fatigue. But now we're here, week two, feeling much more refreshed. Things start to slow down a little bit in terms of what my job looks like. I'm still getting some stuff figured out, so I'm still on a bit of a grind. But right now I can transition to the work that I really enjoy. So I get to spend this next 2 weeks meeting with all of my new employees. So I've got about 53 new staff members. So 53 freshly hired peer mentors, and I am meeting with each of them individually. The one thing I've made pretty steady in my work so far as a professional working at the university setting is, as long as I'm in a position where I interact with students, whether it's directly with students or whether it's with a staff of students, I want to maintain a relationship building focus. So when I first got this job, I was meeting with all 84 at the time peer mentors bi-weekly in a one-on-one 15-minute window. So pretty much every week I was meeting with 40 people, and it was pretty exhausting. So now I've made it a little bit easier on myself. I've moved to a lot of group meetings when it comes to meeting with my peer mentors. But because I haven't had the chance to build that same connection or grow that same relationship with these new mentors, I want to have at least one one-on-one meeting with them to sit down, see their face, associate their name with something. Because the most depressing thing I can think of for myself as a supervisor is if I ever reach a point where no matter how many staff I have, whether it's six employees or whether it's 100 employees, if I ever get to a point where I don't at least make the effort to want to get to know each of them on an individual basis, so that way when they approach me, I'm not just looking at employee and calling them champ or buddy or guy or something like that, you know, just giving them a nondescript name because I don't know who they are. I want to be that person that, you know, if a Grace approaches me, I know it's Grace. I can tell you about Grace. And maybe I don't know the full extent of her, but being able to understand that person, or at least being able to link to that person and know their name, it makes me feel good. I hope that having a boss, realizing that you have a boss that has 88 other employees but still knows your name, I hope it makes them feel valued, because that is truly what I want. I want them to know that I am doing this because I do value them as individuals. But yeah, no, I am a relationship builder, even if I bemoan all of the touchy-feely side of working in student affairs or higher ed or, you know, academic affairs. But I have, over the years with my time working with student staff, become very fond of getting to know them and really valuing any kind of one-on-one interaction I can get with them to get to know them a little bit better. But, you know, hey, that's a little bit of me and my work life. I know I haven't really discussed that a whole lot on this show. So, yeah, I work at a university. I have 89 employees. I spent 3 days in August training them all. It was exciting. I put on role plays. So I give scenarios for the returning peer mentors to either act out or process with the new mentors. And it's probably the highlight of me preparing for training is writing down scenarios that are exaggerated, but they're moments that happened to peer mentors in the past that I take that story, make it a little bit over the top, and then give it to these students to interact with each other, to kind of give them a feel for if this situation ever goes completely wrong, if this is ever a bad interaction, here you go. And I guess to frame that, the peer mentors themselves get assigned about 10 students, and they meet with them for 30 minutes one-on-one every week. So my 89 peer mentors are doing roughly 10 meetings every week for this first semester and half of the second semester. So for the most part, completely harmless meetings, 30 minutes-ish, where, you know, the student may not even want to really talk to them a whole much, and they get a script that I created that helps them process some information for the week. But there are those instances where, hey man, if you're having, you know, these in the first semester 14 week meetings with this student, there's a chance that they may come in and they may drop something on you. They may drop a big bomb like, you know, so-and-so or something's happened, and, like, how do you respond to that? And, you know, we hope it's never anything bad, but, I mean, there's been some interesting ones. Anywhere from the more harmless of a mentee, you know, flirting with or asking their mentor on a date to more severe people dropping some mental health stuff that really has you concerned. And you know, it's a lot for the mentors to process, because, you know, they're students themselves. It's a difficult thing to be dropped some of these heavier bombs. I'm not saying it doesn't, you know, it's not heavy on me to hear some of these student stories or deal with some of the tougher things when it comes to the student side. But before I was doing this job, I was working with housing and residence life. So I was working in the residence halls, or as some of you refer to them, the dorms. I can promise you this, anyone at housing and residence life does not like the term dorm, or they're indifferent to the term dorm. But I think there was a push to eliminate the dorm word. I know some people aren't a big fan of that anyways, and they just call it whatever's most comfortable. Anyways, so working in housing and residence life, whether it was as an RA or as a hall director, I unfortunately had to deal with some tougher situations. There were definitely a lot of funny stories, so there's a lot of humorous things I can pull from my repertoire of working in housing and residence life for, oh my gosh, 6 years? I mean, if you add in the RAing, it was 9 years, so almost a decade of working in some capacity with housing and residence life. So there were a lot of fun stories to pull from there. But man, there are also some stories you get from working in a place where students live that it's deep, it's emotionally draining. Some of these students unfortunately go through some horrific stuff during their experience at college. And you know, it's definitely not the end of the world for me, but I mean, as someone that was responding to some of these calls as almost, if not a first responder, someone there to document after the fact some of these terrible things that happen to people on our campuses, man, it just, you wear it, and it wears you down. I know that's a very selfish way of looking at it, because, I mean, it's definitely more extreme and more difficult for the student themselves to go through. But if you're a caring person working in those type of jobs, I mean, there's no way you can't. Not to say it's comparable, but I did work with a lot of university police officers throughout the course of my time in housing and residence life, because of just the nature of some of the calls that we have to make or respond to. And I imagine they probably, I mean, are trained to deal with it, but I imagine for anyone working in like the police field, anyone working in healthcare, anyone working with EMT or anything like that, any of these jobs where you see some of the worst things happen to people or the worst in people, it has to be difficult to pull that away from you. So again, I'm not comparing the job I used to do to any of that, but because of the job I was working, because of how things happen on college campuses, and because of the relationships I had with both EMT responders and police officers, whether it was the local police or more so the campus police, I mean, it's just one of those things where, yes, I was a glorified note taker at times, but still, in a lot of those cases, having to document that and then have the follow-up conversations or have follow-up conversations with members of the campus to help or at least process the situation that occurred, it's difficult. So if you know of anyone that's doing anything housing, residence life, or any of the first responder type roles, I mean, give them a hug, man. They go through a lot. They go through a lot, and they probably don't talk about it near enough because they're good people taking on these jobs. But man, I've seen some very heartbreaking stuff happen to. I mean, I assume good people, but I've just seen heartbreaking stuff happen to people on college campuses, and I try to frame it when I'm talking to students. I'm like, listen, college is difficult. I wish I could say the hardest thing to happen to you in college is going to be the academics. It would be so much easier if the hardest thing that was going to ever happen to you in your college experience would be the academics. But the reality is, college, because you're now an adult, college, because now you're older, college, because there's these other elements at play, College is difficult for a lot of factors that have nothing to do with the classroom. But yeah, I guess I don't want to get too caught up in my job. Maybe if people are interested in that, I can talk more on my experiences either now working in the academic side or my previous life working in housing and residence life. Again, I have a lot of very not painful stories to talk about with housing and res life. A lot of poop related stories. There is a wealth of places people can, will, and manage to poop that will intrigue, inspire, and probably make you cry. So if that's an interesting topic for people, please feel free to let me know. I will gladly go off on rants about that. But I'm hoping to get some of my former res life housing friends on here. So, I mean, I guess they're not former friends, but former people I worked in the same field with, since I'm no longer in housing and resident life, and most of them still are. Hopefully I can get some of them on here for a podcast episode. And I'm sure just naturally through talking to them, just because of the shared experience of surviving res life, will probably unearth some of my stories anyway while taking a deep dive into some of the other very ridiculous things that can happen when you oversee a building full of young people. But yeah, so I just wanted to get an episode in for this week, just so that way people know I didn't disappear or give up on the podcast. Again, sorry if you missed me, but I hope that this helps tide you over until next week. Next week, I have a special guest. I have a guest coming in, my friend Trista, known her since, oh my gosh, known her probably all my life, but realistically known her since we were super, super young. And have always been fairly good terms with Trista all throughout my life. So she's definitely one of the few people that have survived the entirety of our young lives together. And it's going to be fun to sit down and have a conversation with her and see what she's doing, kind of what's on her mind, because I don't think I've ever actually sat down and really picked her brain. So if you're interested in that, see you next week. If you're interested in hearing any more of tales of my jobs or jobs past, please feel free to let me know, and I'll roll with it. But thank you so much, and see you next week. Bye, my beautiful, beautiful angel babies. Mwah.